The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Happy All Saints Sunday. It's one of those complicated days. We have a lot of commemorations and observances all wrapped up into one day. Of course, we have our celebration of Easter, as we do on every single Sunday of the year. Every Sunday is a little Easter when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Secondly, it's a baptismal feast. All Saints is one of the days of the year that the prayer book recommends that we have baptisms, and in fact we will have one at 11 o'clock. But in the absence of a baptism, we renew our baptismal promises, and we'll do that after this homily in place of the Nicene Creed. We remember who we are as we renew and refresh our promises and recommit ourselves to our life ahead. And then, of course, there's All Saints' Day, which is properly November 1st, the one day that we are allowed to celebrate twice, both on the day itself and on the Sunday following. And then there's All Souls' Day as well, November 2nd. We wrap them all up together because it's hard to get people to come out in midweek, so we remember the saints and the lesser saints, the worthies, those who are our own particular saints on this day. All Saints' Day, the celebration of all the saints, has dual origins, two roots to it in history. The early church, the first 300 years of the church when it was illegal to be a Christian, they revered the martyrs, and only martyrs were counted as saints, people who had died heroic deaths for the sake of the gospel, in addition to the apostles and the family of Jesus. The second origin is from my homeland, from Ireland. In the Dark Ages, when Europe was illiterate and run by Huns and Goths, in Ireland, in the monastic communities, the cult of the saints began and the celebration on one day of all the saints together. And then it spread east to England and reached Rome by the middle of the 9th century and then became standard practice across the Holy Roman Empire. So two roots to this celebration of all saints that come together, the martyrs and then the saints otherwise known. And the definition of a saint expanded pretty early on. Originally, as I said, it was just martyrs, those who had died for the faith. But pretty soon in the history of the church, you could be a saint if you hadn't died a heroic death. You still needed to have died. That's still a qualification for being a saint. And in fact, today in the Episcopal Church, I think they say you have to have been dead for several decades before one's recognized officially by the calendar. But it wasn't even necessary, in order to be a saint, to be a nice person, someone people liked. It was enough to have done something notable, something memorable for the spread of the gospel and the growth of the kingdom. Saint Jerome, for instance, who lived in the 400s, translated the Bible into Latin, and that's why we call him a saint. But he was not at all a popular man in his lifetime. He was a grouch. Nobody liked him. Other early saints might be eccentric, odd, even infuriating to their contemporaries. Deacon Ephraim of Edessa of the late 300s lived in a cave and ate only barley bread and dried herbs. Elizabeth of Hungary in the 13th century was a young princess who was driven into poverty and exile by her people after she sold her jewels and opened up the state food stores to feed starving peasants and to give medicine away. She died in poverty at the age of 24, and you might say she's a patron saint for our young adults. Tikhon of Russia in the early 20th century similarly sold church treasures to feed starving peasants during a famine, and that didn't go down well with his colleagues. Moses the Black in the early 400s was a reformed bandit, murderer, and rapist, and yet is remembered. Amelia Bloomer, coming forward a little bit in history in the 19th century, scandalized society by wearing trousers in public. Vincent de Paul, the 1600s, was irritable. Bartolomé de las Casas was unpopular for his intolerance of everyone else. Some saints held positions, public positions, that were unpopular too. Roland Allen, who died in 1947, was ridiculed for teaching that indigenous people were capable of running their own churches. Our current calendar, the book we have is called Holy Women, Holy Men, that the Episcopal Church has published recently, devotes 279 days of the year to commemorating saints. And often on a given day, there is more than one person. Perhaps it's a group, perhaps two or three people with similar characteristics. We've recently added many, many names to expand beyond the traditional categories of Anglo-European men and early martyrs and people in religious orders. And there's a huge variety of people. It's not just the doctor, the queen, the shepherdess, the soldier that you hear about in the old song, but lawyers are remembered, like Thurgood Marshall, teachers like Adelaide Case, and even politicians, civil servants, Francis Perkins, Labour Secretary. Escaped slaves are remembered, like Sojourner Truth. Journalists such as Sarah Hale. Explorers like John Muir. Scientists like Teilhard de Chardin. So we have a broader vision today than we have ever had of who the saints of God are. And it's a different view of the saints than other traditions necessarily hold. We don't hold that the saints stand between us and God, so we must pray to the saints in order for God to hear our prayers. We hold that the saints stand more as signposts for God, saying this way to the kingdom, helping us along, but allowing us always free access to God. Any of us can pray, and our prayers will be heard. Our vision of the saints is like our vision of God's love in the Episcopal Church. It's constantly expanding to include and welcome more and more people and more types and conditions of people. Our notion of God's approval and love just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. If God has a special blessing for a lawyer, a civil servant, or a teacher, then why wouldn't God have a special blessing for you and for me? All Souls, as I mentioned, is also a part of this day. All Souls Day reminds us of the people who have pointed the way for us personally in our own lives, but perhaps haven't achieved wider recognition. They're people we've loved, perhaps parents or grandparents, neighbors, mentors, dear friends, even children, sadly, sometimes. What ties all of these people together and connects our remembrance of them with both baptism and our weekly celebration of the resurrection is the gift of hope. This is the gift that they offer us. We are a people of hope. That is our calling as people of God. We live into the hope of a glorious eternity with God. We celebrate every Sunday the present reality, whatever it may be for each of us, in the light of hope for what lies ahead. In our faith, we believe that something wonderful lies ahead. We grieve those who are no longer with us, But eventually, with God's grace, the window of hope in the grieving process reopens, and we can look forward to a grand reunion with our particular saints. Blessed are those, Jesus says. Blessed are those who look forward to union with God. Blessed are those who look forward to the fulfillment of righteousness. Blessed are those who look forward to the restoration of joy, to the kingdom of mercy, and to justice. And blessed are we when we look forward from today's pain to tomorrow's blessings. Thanks be to God for all the faithful people through the ages who have pointed the way to us, this way to the fulfillment of hope and the kingdom of heaven.